started, I really want to say congratulations, and I'm so proud of you guys for being committed, for staying here. We are growing the church. The Lord has given us a new pastor. We have different opportunities. We have the ministries coming. People are stepping up and doing services, and it's just amazing of how the church at Covington has stepped up and have decided we are in this community. We are going to do something. We are here. So God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm so thankful. I was looking at listening to a story of a dad and his son. They're sitting down, and the little boy asked the father, he says, in school, we need to pull out the difference between contribution and commitment. A contribution and a commitment. So he wanted to know the difference, and the father thought about it for a little bit, and then he goes, son, what's down on your plate? He goes, well, it's ham and eggs. He goes, well, the chicken made a contribution, but the pig had to make a commitment. And that's the big difference. And I love that analogy because that's how we are. That's how we are here. Let's look at I got a lot of scripture going. Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, 44, you can either look on the board or whatever you have on your lap. And the word of God says like this, verse 44, chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and he hid again. Then in his joy, he goes out and sells everything he had just so he can purchase that land because of that precious item he found there. Then Jesus comes up with another analogy, something very similar, where he says, again, the kingdom of God is like a man who is dealing in search of fine and precious pearls, and who upon finding a great pearl, a great value, he went out and he sold everything he had to go out and buy it. These are two examples Christ was talking about when they're asking about the kingdom of God, who's going to be there. And he shows us this example of being committed. Being committed. It requires to give in all of ourselves. There's a difference between the contribution. Yeah, I'll come to church and I'll sit here and God, we did our deal. There's a difference between that and commitment. To know that you can't even breathe without recognizing God for that day. To know that finally when Saturday, Sunday comes around, finally I get to come and worship with all my brothers and sisters. And when you're committed, you're looking forward to these kinds of things. Our life changes, but in order to commit, it requires belief. Before we commit to something, we got to really believe in it, and we got to believe that it is. And that's the difference of salvation, because salvation comes from belief. So we're going to see as this commitment goes, this is another promise that God has given us, that if we can commit to ourselves, of who we are and what we are in Christ. If we can commit to one another, we can commit to the church. There's special promises that are mentioned that'll be coming our way. And these are things that he's wanting to show us already. We're gonna see a few examples of this. If you were in a life and death situation, out in a desert or whatever, and you're searching for water, and you don't have any water and you're searching for this, would you give up after 3-4 hours of searching and I guess there's no water? Of course not. Of course not. We're going to keep looking. If our life depends on it, we're going to be looking for that water. We're going to go keep searching until our last breath because we know we need that item. And when that dedication and that search and that commitment of search is searching out Jesus and what he wants, what Christ wants in for him, in us, in you, what he wants for us to do. If we can look and search with that same tenacity, with that same hunger, with that same desire to find it, I'm going to find it. I want to know more of the Lord. There's special blessings and commitments that God comes. So ask yourself about the commitment. You know, I know for a fact God's guiding my life. I know that. I don't know where, but I know who. And so I don't have to approve of the where because I trust in the who. And when you trust in the who, when you know that God said it, you can commit to it. See, that's the difference of saying, you know, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to cut the yard. You start cutting the yard, and it gets tough and difficult, and you start sweating. It gets hard. You say, you know what? Forget that. Let me find something else to do. Or you have the commitment and said, I want to finish this yard, and you continue on. See, resistance and doubt eat away at commitment. When we find the Lord, we commit our life to the Lord. We've heard that phrase so many times. Commit yourself unto Jesus. When you commit yourself unto Jesus, what is that saying? It's more than a contribution. It's something that you are going to live no matter. You're going to go to the end. You're going to complete it. You're going to find it. You're going to look at it. Like these guys who found the field. Let's check out Matthew chapter 13. Psalms chapter 139. It says, Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know that when I sit down and when I stand up, even when I'm far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my travels and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. You know, that's kind of scary for some people because God knows you that well. God knows you that well. He knows us that well. And others find comfort in this. I find comfort in that. I don't have to know and say, what am I doing? What am I thinking? Oh, Lord, please help me figure this out. He's already there. He's already figured it out. He's just waiting for us to speak with him in this communication. So keep going. He says, verse 4, there isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. Not a word. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. It's amazing when God just envelops you and just, you know he's there. He's promising it now. He is with us. He's here. There's never a moment you're alone. There's never a moment you are alone. The devil's a liar. Don't let him convince you that. You are never alone. You are never alone. And then it reaches over in verse 6. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. Even David says that. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? Can I go to heaven? Can I walk over here? And he continues on giving these analogies. Then I want to jump over to verse 13. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knitted me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I gave you thanks to you, and I was marvelously set aside. Your works are wonderful, and I know them very well. That's the God. He created you from the beginning. He's with you. These are not, oh, Lord, I hope you're with me. Please come and be with me. He's there. He's there waiting to talk with you. He's there in the moments of temptation. He's there for you to lean on him. There's differences. Don't ever forget. Please, any other takeaway from here is that being committed to Christ will ensure these promises that God has for us. Being committed to Christ is when we can imitate him and as he was committed to us. He created you. He made you that way. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Love that song. Yes, yes, yes. God hears you. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, period. He anointed us, period. So many times, and I'm probably the worst one there, is in my prayer, I ask, Lord, I ask for your anointing. Lord, I ask for your anointing. Father, I want this message just to be as clear, as calm as possible, and reach into the hearts of my friends, my brothers, my sisters. I want the message to just come and change your life and help you to totally be able to put all your life, all your valuables in one basket Put everything you have in one basket, and that basket is God. And he's saying, I will be there. You are anointed. God reminds us we are already anointed. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, there's many different blessings that you get. And one of the biggest things is we get forgiveness for our sins. Because we have failed God. There is a God who has paid the price. The price has been paid. He offered that payment to you. All you have to do is accept it. You know, I'm not real big during the invitation to beg somebody to come in and come in to know my Jesus and my God. If I can present this right, the Holy Spirit does his work, you ought to be running up here wanting to receive Jesus and fall in his ways if you have not yet. But I want it to be a commitment, not a feeling. Feelings come and go. We get tired. We get discouraged. We get all the problems in the world and we don't see a solution at that moment and worry sets in. It does not have to be that way. When it gets to that point, we turn it around because God is with us. We are anointed. Anointed means set apart. We're separate. We're different. We are God's people. Still with me? Amen? I don't mean to get this so much Bible knowledge and so much spirit, but this is amazing what God has. It's amazing what God is doing when we can commit and when he asks us to commit. In Hebrews 13, verse 1, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers in Christ. Remember to welcome strangers into your home. Some people may have done this and have welcomed angels without knowing it. Do not forget those who are in prison. Remember them as if you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as if you were suffering also. Marriage should be honored by everyone. Husband and wife should keep their marriage pure. God will judge guilty those who are sexually immoral and commit adultery. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with all that you have. For God has says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Every time we think that we can walk past something and God will not notice, in essence, we're saying God's not telling us the truth. And we know he's a God of truth. So it must be that he is with us at all times. It helps us. During the time of temptation, he's there to give us inspiration. During the time of trouble, we're struggling because all these things come. God is there. He is with you. Don't doubt it. Speak to him. Use him. Talk to him. Love him. He's there. He's there no matter if you're the only human there. He is there with you. You need to know. Before we can get committed to the church, before we can get committed to one another, we must get committed to ourselves. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ. We don't need to know who we are without Christ because there's nothing but negative and down and it's not a happy life, but who we are in Christ. Can we put that slide on? Of who we are in Christ, we need to know we're not just ordinary persons. You're a child of the living God. You're an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ Jesus, meaning we're going to be in heaven. You're not just a sinner. You're a new creation in Jesus. You are part of a chosen generation right now at this time. We are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's who TCAC is. That's who the churches are. You are one of God's chosen people as a church and individually. You're an heir of God. You're a princess. You're a prince. I was watching a little child's movie with my grandson, and the king was getting after the prince, little prince boy, because he was acting up and playing and like a little kid. And that jumped over here with ourselves. Recognize who we are. That king tells that boy, don't you know you're a son, you're a prince? And I ask you, we realize that we are children of God. Now, let me get this. The creation of God is every human being he has created. to those who have decided to walk, to come back to him and walk with him and hear his word, make him God of your life, make him God of your spirit, make him the strength that you have, make him the power, having someone who loves you, having someone who's there for you, not only on this life, but for all eternity. That's when you become a child of God. And that's when that crown is put on. And that's when we walk as the as representatives, as king of God. Amen. There's just so much thing to see here. For no matter how the promises God has made, there always is going to be a yes. Let's jump over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers, this is the time when Jesus was walking around, one of the teachers was asking him, he's seeing him arguing with the Sadducees and Pharisees. And so he decides to trick him up and he asked him a question. What's the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment, he asked him, the most important? And Jesus answered, the most important commandment is this. Now listen up, people of Israel. Listen up, children of God. People of TAC, children of TAC, believers, listen up. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love him with everything. Be committed. Love him with everything. The second most important command is that you love your neighbor. He's putting this right up with loving him, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the two commandments, the two most important commandments. You see, when we get a grip of doubt and fear, and we turn to the fellowship of those believers, we find the answer. When we turn to God, we find the answer. It really does come. Thoughts will come into mind. Oh, man, I didn't think of that. When we search our searching into other brothers and sisters, we're able to bounce ideas back and forth, and we're able to see things. But when we turn our doubt and fear to non-believers, we get sucked in. Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't blame you. Just change it. Get it out of there. What are you doing there anyway? What kind of marriage is that? Man, there's all kinds of other spouses out there. The devil will soak it and just put things in your mind. It depends on who you're speaking with. And we're seeing here that the need to love ourselves. We need to know who we are. We need to know who our brother is as we serve and learn to be committed, as we start to love to be committed to others. Over in Ephesians chapter 2. There was somebody, when Pastor asked me to bring the word, there's so many different topics that I had in my heart and so many different things. I can be over here for days and just sharing what I want to share. But the heaviest one that he will put on here is commitment. And then I started commitment. And commitment is such a broad line. There's a million sermons on that. I said, Lord, what do you want to tell us as a church, about the commitment to one another? When we come to church, it's not only for you, even though that's the main benefit, because we're talking about you. But when you come to church also, it inspires your family, your children, and they see that, and there's an effect. When we come to church, we come into our neighbors will see us. When we don't come to church, we miss each other. When you don't come to church, we miss each other. And there's that commitment to one another. The prayer, the commitment of prayer. He's saying to love one another, to love others, just as we love ourselves. Is that way? Is that kind of a community? That's what TCAC has been built into now these last few months. We have been built in to building our confidence and our commitment to one another. It's amazing what God is doing. Look back. It's amazing where God has brought us. And all for the purpose of where he's going to take us. For the guys who are yet to come. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. So then remember that At one time, the Gentiles by birth were called the uncircumcised, while those who called themselves circumcised. They underwent physical circumcision done by human hands. At the time that you were without the Messiah, when we were excluded from the citizenship in Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, at that time when we were still sinners, at the time when we were still sinners, you had no hope and were in the world without God. I tell you, anybody, again, if you have not accepted Christ in your heart and made it a commitment, we're missing out on this, and all these covenants and the promises are just sitting here waiting for you. I urge you to come and receive Jesus Christ. If you have never done that, we're going to have a time of prayer afterwards, and I encourage that. Ask God about it. He knows you. You might not know him that well, but he knows you very well, and he loves you. Verse 13, but now, in union with the Messiah Jesus, you were once far, far away, have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, for it is he who is our peace. Through his mortality, he had made groups by tearing down the walls of hostility. I'm going to jump over to verse 13. That we are no longer strangers, but foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household. Verse 20. We have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Messiah Jesus himself being the cornerstone. 21. In union with him, the whole building is joined together and rises into a holy sanctuary for the Lord. You too, you are being built along with him, along with others, into the same place that God's Spirit dwells. What's he saying? He's saying that there's a spiritual building that's being built all up. Foundation is what the apostles have taught us in the Word of God. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. We bind ourselves with Jesus Christ, and as we do that, somebody else next to you and somebody else next to you, and we're binding with each other. I tell you, if a column, a cornerstone were to be missing, the whole building would turn down, would fall down. These are the kind of analogy that God is saying. He's saying we don't have time to be plucking out of this wall and be plucked into another wall, but we have committed to stay there. You have committed to stay into where God's place, committed to stay with God, committed to stay with the Jesus Christ, no matter what, no matter what kind of temptation, no matter what kind of discouragement, no matter what kind of position that we're in, no matter where we see ourselves, how we see ourselves, God is there. And he wants to be there. And he wants you to be there with him. He wants you to continue to build this church up. This is God that is with us. Over in, and again, I'm so proud of you guys, because this is, we've decided to be in that building. We've decided to stay there. And there's been other bricks added on to this building. And there will be more. And because of your commitment, because of your faithfulness, God has used and blessed TCAC. Yes, we have a long way to go. Yes, we have a lot of things to do. Yes, we have a lot of people that we don't know yet that will know Jesus when they come in here. These seats will be set with teachers, filled with teachers and leaders and people that God, the people that God is bringing in. But right now, we're at the point, because we are here and we stayed committed and we stayed faithful, we are here to receive God's gifts of that. I really congratulate you guys. Proverbs, verse 3. This was kind of interesting. It says, my son, don't forget my institution and keep my commandments carefully in mind. Keep my commandments faithfully, and they will add length to your days, years to your life, and all with abundant peace to you. Do not let grace and love and truth leave, bind them around your neck, and write them down on the tablets of your heart, and find favor of a good reputation for both God and man. Trust in the Lord a little bit. No. What does it say? All your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. I know that's a scripture we all know, but do we understand it? In all ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. One of the things when I was looking at that back in verse 2, it baffled me, because I can understand how God can add more lives, how God can add more years to our life. I can understand that. God will add more years to our life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. How is he going to lengthen your day? There's only 24 hours, period, and that's all there is. How does he lengthen your days? And I was asking, I kept reading it and asking the Lord, what do you mean by that? He says, if we do these problems, you know how many times I said, man, I don't have enough time in the day. How many times you said, God, you get at night, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. I need more time. I need more time in the day. How many times have we said that? And God has promised us right here. He's promised us, he says, my son, if you keep my commandments in mind and you trust me with all your heart, he's going to make your path straight. So now your path is straight that day, and we're not wandering over here and wandering over there and come wandering over here. Should I do this? Should I come here and wander about all the things that you haven't put, that we have not put before God? And we're wandering everywhere. And by the time the end of the day, didn't get anything accomplished. What's God saying? He said, trust in me, put your word, don't spend time worrying, trust in me, follow my commandments, and I will make your path straight. And when you got a straight path, you go straight there, you have lots of time in your hand now. Because we're not too busy spending our time wondering, gossiping, sinning, moping, all the things of untrust of God. The takeaway of that, God will lengthen our days when we do these commandments. That was just so big. It's so amazing. The motivation gets us started. We get motivated to come to church. We get motivated to come in here. But it's that commitment that keeps us here. It's that commitment. I don't feel it. That's okay. It's the commitment. Well, that's just not me. Yes, it is you, because God created you. He's asking you to fellowship with the church. He's asking you to fellowship with him during the week. He's asking you to pray with, talk to him during the day. He's asking you to pour your worries at his feet, and he'll take care of them. Remember the last time I preached, it was talking about when we lay our worries, concerns in the front of Jesus, that he is faithful to take them. And then the peace that passes all understanding will be with us. And when you're at peace and you're chilled, we're not stressed. We get more during the day. Our days are lengthened again. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Throw all your worries on him, because he cares. Be clear-minded and alert. Your opponent, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for who he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. After you have suffered a little while, does it sound like God sometimes wants us to suffer? Or why are we suffering? After a while, the fact is that we are going to suffer a little while. But then the God of peace, who called you by the Messiah Jesus to his eternal glory, will restore and establish you, strengthen you, support you. Power belongs to him, and all the glory. Amen. We've been faithful. He's restored us. He's restoring us, not only as corporately, but individual. I'm hearing so many stories of everybody, how the different blessings are coming around, and he's restored us that way. You know, I've read that scripture since I was a kid, and this time when I was studying, something different kind of came in. When it says that, be aware of the devil, our opponent, the devil, who roars like a lion, seeking to whom devour. You know, when the devil comes around, he's not quiet. He doesn't sneak attack us. He doesn't surprise us. Like, oh, shoot, what am I doing? I'm in sin. Ah, he doesn't surprise us. In fact, he roars at us. He yells at us. He looks at us and says, I'm going to get you. And he tries and he roars and he throws out that fake. He throws out that scare. Thing is, he's been declawed already. Don't even need to worry about him. But he does come and he roars. And how are we going to, how do we resist him? What does the word say? How do we resist him? By being firm in the faith. By being firm in the faith. By being committed. By saying no matter what, no matter who says what, I am committed. I am committed. This is the way it will be. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. I always remember of the author of that song. The author of that song was, it's a true story. He was, it was an Indian preacher, I mean an Indian village. A minister, missionary came out to go witness to him, and a few of the people accepted Christ. Well, this one family in particular accepted Christ, and the not the king, but the head honcho of that village came up, and he was going to set an example because everybody was Hindu in that village, and this guy now accepted to be Christian. So he got his family, pulled them in, got his soldiers in, he put a knife to the family, and he says, I want you to denounce that Jesus. And the father says, no, I have decided to follow Jesus. They grabbed his son, beheaded him, and killed him. He said, I'll give you another chance. I want you to denounce your Jesus. And he says, no turning back. No turning back now. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. They killed his wife. He's standing there alone. And they gave him one more chance. His response was, though none go with me, I still will follow. And they killed him. And the people that saw, the whole village that saw, they put his last words to paper. And that's where we got that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And they put it to a song in memory of him. The other villagers that saw what everything had happened, they saw that faithfulness, the commitment that he had. And they received Jesus. And it was, and the whole village was able to, multitude in the village were following Christ. Why? Because of the commitment. The commitment. God, there's that commitment needs to go. When we come, when we hear the enemy rowling, roaring, pay attention. When we hear the enemy roaring, pay attention. Temptation comes, pay attention. Pay attention. Because when we can walk through that and we're committed, you're giving a testimony to your family, to your friends, that Jesus is real. Real in your life and can be real in their life. The commitment of the power of the commitment is something that'll get us out of a rut and move us over. It's commitment to yourself. Know who you are. I was wishing more of the young people, because they're the one that's being, the teenagers are the one being tempted so much or roared so much about that they're unworthy. We haven't found themselves. There's many adults. We wonder who we are. Are we worth it? Is it worth being here? And I'm here to tell you to be committed to yourself, be committed to others, and be committed to Christ. It's possible to be committed to the church and not have and not being committed to Christ. But when you're committed to Christ, you'll be committed to the church automatically. That's his family. So the word for today is a commitment. And I want to ask everybody if we can stand. We're going to end this up. The message that God wants us to have is that commitment. So first of all, we're going to be praying right there where you're at, and you know, I don't like the begging anybody to come, because when you really get a glimpse of Jesus, you'll know who he is. And if you've never accepted him in your heart, after the service, we're going to have some prayer over here, and I would love to pray with you. We got the commitment. Believers, brothers, sisters, commitment. No matter what. No matter what. I'm going to break this chain of sin, the habit, the lax, being lax, too lax, whatever the sin may be. But if we can commit, I guarantee there's promises waiting for you. It's written in the Word. When the promises, when we commit, we say, no, I'm going to do it. I don't feel like going to church. I'm going to do it. I don't feel like reading the Bible, but I'm going to do it. I don't feel like talking to him, but if that's what God's put in your heart, you got to do it. You be committed no matter what, and it'll be amazing. I'm talking super amazing of what God's going to be doing in your life, in the life of the church, and in the life of the people to come. Dear Father, we come to you, Father. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your message. We thank you for your word. I ask now that you poured into each and every one of our hearts. Lord, at the time of a time of temptation or doubt or fear or anxiety, Father, I ask that you bring this message straight to their heart. Remind them, Father, that no matter what, we've committed to follow Jesus, and we will do what he asked for us. You're with us, Father, and I thank you. And I thank you, Father, for always being with us and holding down. Your Father, you hear the prayers of the congregation. I ask now, right there where you're at, commit to the level that you're comfortable with to the Lord. I can't convince you to commit. I can't commit for you. It's only you. You promised 100%, give 100%. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for receiving, for hearing the prayers. I ask that you facilitate over this overcoming, Father. Remember, cause things to happen that'll keep us straight on the path. Lengthen our days, oh Father. I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Redeemer, our Messiah.